One other thing too, just as a note, it's not creamy mommy as in mother, but yeah. creamy mommy as in M-A-M-I yeah. as in a person's name.
Mommy, why are you so creamy?
By the artist Nagi Yanagi. And you're listening to episode 179 of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, where our sole mission is
to make your anime addiction worse. Chiaki, you can say it too.
To make your anime addiction worse. I don't really have a mic. Because Mitsuki keeps moving it.
Yes, I am a mic hog.
You have to share. You have to share.
No one ever taught me to share when I was in kindergarten.
Sharing is caring. It can be fun.
So I am your host, Mitsugi, and I am joined by my lovely co-hosts, Chiaki.
Hi.
Cram.
What up?
And calling in our long-lost friend, but never forgotten, from America, Kimiko.
Kimiko, hi. I missed you.
I miss you so much.
You left me alone with the boys for so long.
I never meant to, I swear.
There is emotional scarring. I made sure there was.
Oh, snap.
So you can find us at our homepage, www.aaapodcast.com. We're also on iTunes, where you can subscribe and write us 5-star reviews because we love them and it makes me tingly. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, where you can get live photos from Japan. And this coming week is Mitsugi's sports festival, so you will probably see sports festival photos.
Yay!
It also means I don't have to do jack shit at work all week, which is also good. And broadcasting live every Sunday, well, now Saturday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ustream.tv. So the time has changed. It's now Saturday at 9:30 p.m.
And for everyone in the live chat, my figure of the day is Yusuke Urameshi from Yu Yu Hakusho.
He's shooting his spirit gun.
He is. I like shooting my spirit gun, too.
Don't we all?
Oh, my.
Do you like shooting your spirit gun, Kimiko?
I do. I really do.
So, Kimiko, you have been having fantastic adventures.
So many adventures, keeping me away from you lovely people.
We understand.
It's been ridiculous. I mean, it's finally slowing down now, thank God, so I can kind of, you know, occasionally come on here and be where I really want to be. But I guess the most important one to hit on is I was on MTV. I was on a TV show called Made.
Truth.
And the podcast almost made it on MTV, but they're losers, and so they decided not to do it. But yeah, so I was made, for those of you who don't know the show, you basically interview to be turned into a particular occupation or a particular type of person. So it's like, I want to be made into a ladies' man, or I want to be made into a cheerleader. And I wanted to be made into a stunt person. And so for probably the equivalent of 2.5-3 months, I got trained and I did all sorts of crazy, crazy shit and got a job working as a stunt person in Tucson, Arizona at a Wild West stunt show. So that was my life for a while.
And even though the show only ends up being edited down to 1 hour, she was gone for a long time because of, well, the 3 months that she mentioned.
Yep. It was 250 hours of footage for 47 minutes of actual screen time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was obnoxious to the nth degree.
Some poor editing intern got to see a lot of you.
More of me than he probably ever wanted to. There was so much stuff about my cosplay that was completely cut, and I feel so bad for whoever had to watch me dress up as like Katsuragi Keima from World God Only Knows and CL Phantom Hive from Black Butler.
At least it was educational for them. See, you were making their anime addiction worse in a different way.
I was. Hopefully all of the little editors that had to prowl over all of my footage are a little bit more addicted than they weren't before.
I feel really bad for that poor soul that has to edit down from 250 hours down to 47 minutes. Who is that?
Seriously.
Who is that poor soul that has to decide what goes in and what doesn't when you're cutting 99.5% of the material?
That sounds terrible.
Keep the part where she gets set on fire. Very simple decision.
And they did. They did. They kept most of my most extreme stunts. So they kept me being lit on fire, me being hit by a car, me jumping 30 feet into a giant airbag.
And certainly all of your injuries, I'm sure they kept.
Oh, yes. Of course. All of the major injuries. I nearly busted my knee, and so that took up at least 5 minutes of the entire thing.
Which,
so,
I want to point out to everyone, a good couple episodes back, I said that Kimiko wasn't able to join us for a while because she was hit by a car. See?
And I was.
I wasn't lying.
She was telling the truth.
But it wasn't just because she was hit by a car. And she was hit by a car because she wanted to be hit by a car.
That's basically it right there, yep.
And Michael Jordan's got nothing on you. 30 feet?
30 feet.
Shit.
Yep.
God, that's what a vertical leap. You should be in the NBA.
It's weird. Now I know two people who have been on MTV. My brother was on Making His Band with P. Diddy, and they kept his injury, too. He cut his hand open, and it made it into the show.
Of course. Everybody wants to see the carnage.
It's like, if you hurt yourself, or if you work out so hard that you vomit, that's going to make it in. Or if you cry. Vomiting, getting hurt, or crying. Right there.
Tears, blood, vomit, bodily fluids.
They only got 2 out of 3 out of me. I never threw up.
I was going to say, would they keep it? Do the bodily fluids still work? If you pooped yourself, you were straining so hard, would they keep that?
Them poops.
Or is that like the line of shame? They're like, no, we're not going to put you pooping yourself on national television. We're not completely soulless.
We love poop jokes here.
Are you kidding? That's MTV gold right there.
So what was your favorite stunt?
Oh man, really tough. I was really good at the fight scene choreography, but stunt wise, there was a really cool stunt that I got to do at the Wild West stunt show. And basically I got to stand, it was another 30-foot drop, but it was, I was attached to a suspension system that was attached to a flagpole. And so I got to jump straight down, and it had me fall about half as fast as I normally would have if I just jumped, and I got to land on somebody straddling their chest, and it was part of like me knocking out the bad guys in the Wild West show.
You
and it was
sucker
so
in his
much
throat?
Fun. Basically.
I'm sure that you having a black belt in Taekwondo didn't hurt your fight scene choreography at all.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and being lit on fire obviously was really, really cool. Not nearly as terrifying as everyone thinks it is. It is very loud, though. because the fire is right by your ears. So, yeah.
I did watch that scene in MTV, and the way that they edited it, I felt like they made it look like you were really, really dying. And my feeling of just, like, knowing you was that you were totally cool the whole time.
Totally like, cool.
Like, that they found the perfect way to make it sound like you were gonna die.
Well, they had me scream the entire time. That was their big thing. They're like, stunt people aren't just stunt people. They're actors, too. So you have to, you know, scream bloody murder and flail your limbs when you dive off of a building. And if you're on fire, you have to scream like you're actually on fire. And so I don't remember saying this. It felt like it was 5 seconds, but it was around 45 that I was actually in flames. And at one point, I guess I screamed, "I'm on fire!" And half the people had to stop themselves from laughing. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And for anybody, I don't know if you guys actually care out there listening to rant, but if you want to see the episode, go to mtv.com and look for Maid. And then my episode, I think, is 35. It should say Stunt Woman on it. And so you can check out the episode yourself. If you want to watch 45 minutes of Kimiko being crazy, and then you all get to know my real name.
And then,
but, yeah.
And then you also all get to be jealous because we get to hang out with her in person. Well, not when we're in Japan, but we have.
Oh, apparently some people in the chat already know my real name, so whatevs. It's not a big secret.
We're really secret here on this show.
So secret.
like, Cram.
Yes, it is nothing like my real name.
Okay, so we have one 5-star review from iTunes to read from Kakishi Lover. Kakishi Lover writes, "All anime fans should definitely listen to this podcast. They will keep you entertained for hours. When Mitsugi, or even Cram, hates on anime, they go full rage." Well, I'm exaggerating a little. The AAA will talk about anything anime or Japan related. The hosts all have their different personalities and will never fail to make you laugh. By the way, when's your next drinking game going to be?
If we don't, I know this is a far way off, but if we don't do one before this, we really need to record one when Roko comes over. Because we can get the four of us here and then we can call in Kimiko. And
oh my God.
Everybody will be drunk.
It'll be a party Sunday morning.
Phenomenal.
Graham's going to get toe up later today. There's a beer festival up in Scuba.
Snap.
I think I'm going.
That sounds lovely.
It's going to be awesome.
And in case you guys didn't notice, we're reading the 5-star reviews now from iTunes. So we have two new forum members, Winky and Sai the Heretic. Do any of these meet your approval, Graham, since you're such a snob?
Yeah, they're both all right. They're pretty good.
I like Winky. It reminds me of Pinky and the Brain. You could just see Winky, Brain, and Pinky.
Winky sounds like a euphemism for a penis.
A penis?
A penis.
How?
An ochinchin?
I don't know, because a penis has like one eye, like it's winking. Winky.
Like the Aww. Other non-existent eye is the one that's winking?
It's on the side or something.
Okay.
All right, so we also have...
Winky a Teletubby?
Oh, I think it is.
I think it's... Is it also a Pac-Man ghost?
I think that is
also
true.
I don't even
too.
Know.
Inky, Winky, Blinky. Yeah.
Anyway, so we have trivia. The answer for the trivia this week was Ergo Proxy. The correct answers were Cool Manio, Astrophysics, Icy Rose, Shavam 4, Leave It to Me, Reiji, Crutch 910, Under a Bridge Eating BG, Friend, Untamed Ryu, DV8, Toranami, Miss Bones, Takyora 77, Sindar, and Blazing Blossom. And the winner for the week was Untamed Ryu, so congratulations to you, sir. You might win the trivia prize 2 months in a row now. So special. So, mailbags. Who would like to read the first mailbag?
I'll read it. So this is from Kakashi Lover. Man, Kakashi Lover's really making his or her presence known.
And she is in the chat.
She, okay.
Welcome
she.
To the chat.
Kakashi Lover. Oh, that makes sense.
You never know. Besides,
that's true. That's true.
There are no girls on the internet. We're all trapped.
That's right. We've all got penises.
It's true.
So Kakashi Lover says, "Hey there. I'm not sure if you guys talked about these questions yet, but I'm asking anyways. Are you all planning to interview any more voice actors in the future? And here's a random one for you. Is it considered bestiality if you do it with a Neko, as in half cat, half human? Anyways, bye."
Yes, we are, we are going to interview more voice actors. And in fact, we have an interview for later in this episode. But it's hard to do voice actor interviews when you're in Japan. Harder.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to organize them when you can just kind of do them in person at the convention. So, you know, it'll happen again. For, you know. And regarding the bestiality thing, I'm going to say no, because...
Would you plow a cat,
Girl? I definitely would.
You plow a cat girl?
I don't have to think about that one.
You'd plow that, I'm not going to say it.
I would do it.
Hairball.
How about you, Chiaki? Would you plow a cat girl?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know what? It depends on how kitty we are with this.
Yeah, like...
You know, like, do they just have cat ears and a tail and the rest of them are human? Or do they actually have, like, the cat face and a small covering of fur over the body?
I would prefer the former.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it was the former, like...
Cram's like, I want fur everywhere.
If we're going by the letter of the letter, if you will, what? Half cat, half human. So you have to assume 50% cat, 50% human. A straight 50%. I don't know if I would... Have
a straight
50%,
I don't think so, because I think then you're getting, like I said, the cat face and the cat muzzle.
Abomination
and,
level.
And the, like...
Good God.
Small covering of fur over the body, and you know what? I'll say it. I'm a proponent of shaving. So...
Shave that pussy. And by that, I mean the half cat, half human.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pussy cat.
I never forget a pussy.
Cats.
Cat. Kimiko, would you plow a cat girl?
I say I have to agree with what everyone's saying on the 50-50. If there's, you know, a substantial portion of cat, more so than there is of actual woman, I don't know if I swing the cat way.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, like, if it's woman with cat ears and a tail,
Toad's fine.
But 50, that's a little much cat.
Cat girls are...
I don't fancy a hairball. I'm all good.
Cat girls are far inferior to succubus. Just wanted to throw that out there.
You know, it also depends on what parts of the body are cat, because if
oh, for
it's
God's
got
sake,
cat
this is
genitalia.
This is turning into a whole podcast episode. Okay, so the next trivia, the next mailbag question.
The next drunken AA episode will cover what half creatures we will and will not plow.
That's a great hentai episode topic.
I want to be a part of that one.
Nakodus00 writes, "Hello, addicts. There are a lot of anime that are bad that I find myself raging at, but then there are other bad anime that are so bad that I love them, like Love Hina. I was wondering what each of your guilty pleasure anime are." I think we've answered this before, so let's just do it quickly.
We're doing it so quickly.
I thought of one.
Go for it.
Pre-tier.
Oh my God.
Preet with me.
I want to preet with you, Chiaki.
I'll preet with you, Kimiko.
Fantastic.
I don't know, boys, go. I'm thinking.
The legend
Ikito-san.
Of Jubei-chan. Jubei-chan's so bad. Cyber Team Inakiba, that's bad.
Ikito-san.
Ikito-san, yeah.
I don't know if this still counts as a guilty pleasure, but I had a phase where I was reading the Absolute Boyfriend manga. And that's pretty much trash.
That's a confession right there.
Oh, I misunderstood the question. I thought this was anime that are so bad we rage at them. Guilty pleasures?
Yeah.
Oh, none of those ones that I just mentioned are guilty pleasure. Ikito-san, definitely. That's totally a guilty
you
pleasure.
You copier.
I'm sorry.
You're just going to copy
We've had
me?
This discussion before, off the air.
About titties.
There are no titties in Ikito-san, for the record.
What?
There aren't titties in that anime. It's not a hentai anime. There's no titties in it.
They're all
like,
flat-chested.
They get close.
There are no titties. They're all flat-chested.
No, they're definitely not flat-chested. But no. but
so
they
there are titties.
But they miraculously cover
like
the
little pieces of material,
important areas of the body. Anyway, so that was a fun opening. Welcome back, Kimiko.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick anime news break, and when we come back, we have a review with Sam Panansky from Anime Souls, and we're also going to be discussing other current anime gaming news, and then we're going to take another quick news break and come back, and we're going to do impressions on Carnival and reviews on Ginga Ace Kickoff and Bakuman Final Season. So stay tuned.
you animators out there looking at crowdsourcing to get your projects off the ground. This is Chiaki, and this is your Anime News Break. First up, an official Twitter account of the director Makoto Shinkai has recently announced that the Garden of Words anime film will be screened with his short, Dare ka no Manazashi. In addition, the film will be offered on iTunes at the same time as the film opens in Japan on May 31st, which is exciting for those of you who want to see the film right away. The film will play simultaneously in theaters in Japan, Hong Kong, and Taiwan, and it's something that will be a much watch for yours truly. In other news, for those of you who are fans of manga and maybe picked it up after I did a review of the anime Tasogare Otome X Amnesia or Dusk Maiden of Amnesia, it has recently been announced in a preview for Square Enix monthly Gangan Joker magazine that both Maybe's Dusk Maiden of Amnesia manga and Tomo Yokoyama's Watashi no Ochi wa Honya-san manga will end in the coming July issue on June 22nd. So if you're a fan of the manga, an end is in sight. In other news, regarding live action, something that we don't often report on, but this is worth talking about, the PH9 website of Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex and the 009 Re-Cyborg director Kenji Kamiya has begun streaming a live-action independent short film, Silicon : Boot Drive, this past week. Kamiya contributed to the story, which was written and directed by AT. The two previously collaborated on the opening of Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex and the live-action preview for 009 Re-Cyborg. It's an interesting story that takes place in 2020, 5 years after a meteor known as God's Needle landed off the coast of California. The meteor brought an infectious virus that began changing the human race into its next form of evolution. So it's something from prolific creators in anime, and it's worth checking out. And finally, the final screening for To'aru Majutsu no Index, Enmyon no Kiseki, or A Certain Magical Index, The Miracle of Enmyon film, as I've previously reported on, which is running here in Japan, has revealed that the film will ship on Blu-ray disc and DVD in Japan on August 28th. According to the anime's website, the special editions will have a bonus disc with a making-of video and bonus anime. Original novel illustrator Kiyotaka Himamura is drawing the art for the special editions boxes, which will include a soundtrack CD, a 64-page booklet, a miniature replica of the dialogue recording strip, and a reproduction film. Both the regular and special editions will have audio commentaries. This was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back to the show soon.
Hi, my name is Tony Oliver, voice of Arsene Lupin III from Lupin III, the TV series, and I am an anime addict.
And we're back with the 179th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Today we're interviewing Sam Panansky, and I guess one of the benefits of being located in Japan is that we have you here live in the flesh in our Japan studio. Welcome to the podcast. So, Sam, you are a very accomplished individual, besides having a PhD in string theory, physics, and being an employee of the Yomiuri Telecasting Corporation. You have recently launched a project called Anime Souls, a new anime initiative on the website www.animesols.com. I have a very fundamental question. So by now, half the people that are listening have probably typed animesouls.com into their web browser.
Sure.
And they go to the website, and as a person who doesn't, I'm pretend that I know nothing about anything, and I'm just the casual listener, and I go to the website, and to me, it looks very similar to Kickstarter. So I'm sure you've heard that before. So in what ways would you say that it's similar and different than from Kickstarter, just so people that are looking at the site as they hear this can...
Well, Anime Souls is a combination of Kickstarter and anime streaming.
So what our website is, if you go to the website, you're going to see a bunch of shows, some of the, you know, the latest shows that are just uploaded most recently. And then we're going to see like the some sets and how they are currently being supported, the ones that need the most money to go. And then you also see the most popular series on our site. And clicking any of those, you're going to get to a list of episodes to watch. And then you can basically just, you know, if you want to watch an episode, click on it. And assuming you've registered and signed up and signed in, you'll be able to watch the episode. You can, yeah, and for free. Our streaming is 100% free. We'll probably put in some ads for ad support. And all you can have to do is sign up for free and go to the website and you can stream. And our website even works on iPads and iPhones. And you can comment and do other fun things on the site.
That's fantastic to know. I didn't even realize, to be honest, there was streaming. But now I'll have to register so I can access that.
So we actually have over 70 episodes of classic anime streaming for free. So I can go over the shows on our site. But let me explain the Kickstarter start part.
Okay.
So basically the way... We don't just stream anime for free, because that's not exactly a good business model.
Correct.
I mean, no, it's great for fans and all that, but I mean, that, but it's an important part of the site to stream it for free. It's because a lot of these shows, nobody's ever seen them before. But what we want to do is we want to create fans of these shows who want to actually be able to purchase and collect the DVDs. Now, most of these shows, I've never had any DVDs or any license in the US and Canada before, because they're old shows. And they're maybe not the ones that are the most famous out there from these era, but these are really great classic shows that I think people could really fall in love if they just check them out. So our site is designed for you to go and check out and take a look at these shows and go, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen. And when you do that, you'll be able to pledge money towards a DVD set. So just like Kickstarter, there are goals, and they're about 3 months, 2.5 months for each goal. And if you pledge, there's a whole bunch of different support packages you can choose from, everything from $5 up to, you know, $1,000. If you pledge money, you basically are promising to purchase that support package if the goal reaches its value. So before the goal reaches its value, yeah, it's basically just like Kickstarter, and nobody pays anything until you actually register for until the goal is actually met. For each set. So we're doing every DVD set, so every 13 episodes has its own goal. And the minimum pledge for getting a DVD box set is $40. So we're not gouging you with Japanese prices, even though we're a Japanese company. We understand the market. So you want a box set, it's the normal, you know, fairly normal $40 price, and that'll get you a DVD box set and a special sticker.
So people have no reason, there's no excuse not to come and, one, help yourself get some cool swag, and two, help the anime industry by exposing people in America to classic anime.
So when a project is funded or not funded, let's say the 2 months are up, does the streaming go down off the site? Is that how you're working it?
Well, two things I'll promise, and that's actually part of our FAQ. If you go to our website and read our FAQ, which you can access from the menu, you can actually see that one of the things we do for streaming is we will always stream every episode from episode 1. So if we're streaming episode 52, you'll be able to watch episode 1 through 52 on the site. And eventually, we all are going to take shows down from the site. So, for example, if a goal isn't met and we don't continue on to the second set or third set because the goal wasn't met for the first set, then we'll leave this show up for a little while, but eventually it will be taken off the site. And if all the goals are met and we stream the entire thing, chances are we'll leave the show up on the site for a little while because we'll still have extra box sets that we'll want to sell and want to keep pushing the show and exposing more people to it. So you'll see the goals, for example, Creamy Mommy, I believe the goal is $19,000. And that's going to be the same no matter which episode of Creamy Mommy you look at on the site, episode 1 through 9 currently. But we don't have a subscription. There's no subscription to Anime Souls. It's always free, and it's always going to be free. So just from a business perspective, it's not a good idea to simply, we're not building up a library of classic anime to watch on our site. We're trying to promote a certain set of shows at a certain time to raise money to create DVD box sets for collectors.
Right.
And when the goal is met, tons of people get a whole bunch of awesome swag.
Yeah, I mean, we got, if you look at some of the cool items we have that you can get if you click on the on the pledge things, you can actually see that we've got signed illustration sets from the author of Creamy Mommy. We've got some chogakin from Toby Kage, which, you know, those you can't find those these days. You go to a mandarake and ask for that, they'll laugh you out of the store.
So here's just for an example. For Blackjack, not only do you contribute to knowing that you helped get an amazing product delivered to tons of people that it would never happen before in America, but for $100 you get your name in the DVD box set, digital wallpaper, Astro Boy magazine, and a sticker.
That's right. And actually, all the sets, the $100 level, which I call the Pulsar level, because I'm being cool with the whole star theme. Yeah. you can get your name in the DVD. If you're a fan, and you want to know that you really are contributing to the show. And, you know, core fans, those are the best. But you want to do a little extra, you know, we'll put your name in the DVD as a fan if you pledge at the $100 level. And if you pledge at the $250 level, which is the Nova level.
Nova.
Ooh.
Not only do you get your name in the DVD, you get a name and a message in the DVD, and lots of other cool stuff too, depending on which show you're talking about. So there's all kinds of levels that you can pledge and that you can help contribute to the show. And hopefully, you know, we get a lot of people. Actually, I don't even really care if you pledge, honestly. I want people to come to the site and watch the shows and become fans.
Yeah.
And after that, everything will be naturally. Come naturally.
So, completely unrelated, though, the girl in me has to say, I am excited for the first anime lover to propose to their girlfriend by putting a message in an Anime Souls DVD.
That would be really cool.
That would be hilarious. And if anyone does it, you got the idea from me.
Except one of the goals isn't met. Maybe next year, honey.
So one of the things that you mentioned when we were talking about funding and how the site works was the fact that Creamy Mommy is $19,000 to get it funded. So can you maybe shed some light for people on where that money goes?
Sure. In this case, I can break it down pretty carefully, actually. So the supporter money that we're raising, that $19,000, right off the bat, 70% of it, or actually more, depending on the show, but generally 70% goes straight to whoever owned the content. So if it's Piero's content, if it's Creamy Mommy, that 70% of that money goes straight to Piero. The other 30% goes to the Anime Souls company, LLP in general. And that, of course, Piero, you know, owns part of that. So part of that also goes to Piero. But that's used for the site, for running the site, and for paying off the, you know, the web development costs that we did for actually launching the site, and various other things. Of the 70% that goes to Piero, a lot of that, basically, you know, there's royalties to the original author and also the music artists. So Jazzrack, I don't know if they're like the RIAA of Japan. They have to be paid for royalties for creation of DVDs.
Royalties.
And also the, you know, the writers and the authors and the original author of the manga, that all has to be paid. And of course, everybody has their own contract and every show is different. So I can't, you know, say what it is particularly per show. But that tends to be, of that 70%, about 50% of it is royalties to the offers.
That's now, 35%.
Right, yeah. The other 50% of that 70% is actually goes to the creation of the DVDs and the creation of all those special items that we're putting out. So, for example, the way we're going to do it is we're going to manufacture 1,000 DVD box sets when the goals are met. And that'll actually be plenty. If you take 19,000 and divide by 40, that's about 450. So we only need 450 people to pledge to purchase just the basic package of the DVD set.
Right.
So it seems like, you said, it seems like a lot of money, but when you break it down, that's only 450 copies sold.
So what do you do with the other 550 copies?
Well, we're planning to sell them. I mean, we're going to sell them to stores like Right Stuff and Amazon, and that way, actually, people from all around the world can purchase them.
Uh-huh.
Using, you know, normal importation means. Right now, our site, as you know, is restricted to U.S. and Canada for various legal reasons. But once the DVD sets are already created as Region 1 DVD sets for U.S. and Canada, then afterwards, you know, we sell them to retailers, and those retailers can sell them around the world, and we don't have any problems with that.
I actually really like this idea because I feel that for a long time there's been a lack of transparency in the anime industry of what goes into making an anime from the production side and from the money production side. And I think a lot of people look at a box set that they see in a brick-and-mortar store in the U.S. or something, and they say, that's unreasonable for that. And maybe it is. Maybe the companies need to be more transparent. But I feel like that oftentimes it's not, and people don't understand how much goes into it and how much it really takes to get content out there. So I'm really excited about this site from that perspective, and I hope that everyone listening, even if you are unable to donate, go and watch the streaming, as we've said already, but at least go and look around and be enlightened as an anime fan.
So many of the shows are from the 80s, but do you ever foresee the possibility that Anime Souls might branch out to newer anime series that, you know, never made it to Region 1 that came out in, like, the 90s or even
yeah, the definitely. 2000s? We're not limiting ourselves to you know, a certain decade. The shows we have are the shows we have, and you definitely, I think this model suits itself to classic anime, which is what I created it for, really. But there's plenty of opportunity to do shows that were passed over for licensing, or maybe even shows that, you know, were never finished in their release, or even shows that are out of print on DVD, and you wanna, and we could put a goal for making a brand new version, a brand new print run of something. And to get a, to branch up to a similar topic, we are looking into actually getting shows from other companies outside our partnership, and in this case, this would be sort of a more normal licensing-ish deal. We're going to start on that pretty soon. We wanted to launch a site and see how things work and make sure that everything works out. And now that we have a site, we're going to go around to some of the other companies and say, hey, if you have some titles you'd like to try putting in Anime Souls and, you know, raise some money to do a DVD set or re-release, you know, we'd be happy to have them on our site. More content is great.
So I just have one final question for you. And that is, what are your plans for Anime Souls down the road? 5, 10 years? What do you hope or what do you expect? What do you see?
Well, Anime Souls has a bigger purpose, and that is to show the Japanese companies in general that yes, you can market and sell and directly to the fans in the West, specifically to US and Canadian fans at this point, but it can spread, you know, very easily to the rest of the world. And once you show them that and say, look, you can do this, and they exist and they want your stuff.
Yeah, you've got the stuff they want.
That can open doors for entirely new business models, not just for classic anime, but for new anime and for funding of new anime. You know, take a look at like interesting initiatives like Production IG did for Kickheart, for example, where they did a Kickstarter to completely fund a 30-minute anime, right? And it was a huge success. Yeah. And I pledged for it, and I hope to get my Blu-ray pretty soon. And that kind of thing can continue, and maybe it can morph, and maybe, you know, the next time, you know, the next big blockbuster show comes up, you know, maybe it's going to be, first, it's not just going to be simulcast in the West, but it'll, you know, your DVD will be pre-sold. And once you can combine those markets and turn the local Japanese anime market into a global Japanese anime market, that's when you get things like the prices equalizing between the West and Japan, which is such a fundamental problem right now, where the Japanese prices are so high and the Western prices are so low. And if you know any business, you know, model, there's only one way to solve that, and that's to unify the market. And this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sam, for joining us in person.
In our
little studio here. It's been great having you.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's been fun doing this. And maybe I can come back in 5 years and give you next progress report.
A 5-year update.
after Anime Souls has taken over the entire industry.
And of course,
here's hoping.
And of course, we wish you all the best on your effort, and thank you for it. Anime Souls is a really interesting project, and I think everybody should go check it out at www.animesols.com.
I think it really will be interesting to see how this project does, and, you know, if anything gets funded and what gets funded, what the people choose to get funded and whatnot. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I mean, conceptually, it seems like if some of these shows are ever going to see the light of day in the West, this is probably the way it has to work, if it's ever going to work. But that said, it still feels pretty experimental. And with Kickstarter still out there kind of bringing similar projects that that Anime Souls is going for, you know, I feel like concentrating the interest in anime in one place is it could be a really good idea. It's definitely an interesting idea, but I think the attention that Kickstarter specifically has gotten just makes any project that goes on Kickstarter automatically, you know, have a higher chance of being successful from the get-go. So like having something that in a way competes with Kickstarter for attention feels like it could be futile at this point, but we'll see.
I mean, I'm a proponent of Kickstarter, and I have backed things in the past, but there are a lot of people out there that have a negative opinion of Kickstarter because there have been a lot of things on Kickstarter that have known to be just a cash grab.
Well, because Zach Braff. Zach Braff.
Who's Zach Braff?
The guy from Scrubs. Did you guys not hear about that whole debacle? So, the main character from Scrubs, that actor, he made a film back in like 2004 called Garden State, and he wants to make his second film. He wants to write and direct a second film. I can't remember what it's called, but he puts it up on Kickstarter, and he's like, listen, I need like $4 million or something, and he got that thing funded in like a week. But this dude has the money that he could pay for the film out of pocket. The whole reason he put it on Kickstarter is to get people to fund his movie that he wouldn't have to put risk money up front, money that he actually has. Ostensibly, just so that he could have complete creative control and he wouldn't have to go through the Hollywood system, through the studio system, where they would, you know, give him notes and say, you know, you're going to do it this way or whatever, because you're using our money.
It could have been an advertising gimmick too, though. The more people find out about it because of Kickstarter,
it was a lot. There was a lot of bad press surrounding it when it came out, and I think he's gone back. Something developed recently. I'm not sure what it was, but I think he's like reneged on something. Like having to do with that, but yeah, that's kind of where that negative image comes from sometimes, is people getting on Kickstarter asking for money that they already have.
You know, I can respect somewhat him maybe wanting to have complete creative control over something, and I can respect that, but at the same time, I could also see wanting him to be like, I'm gonna put half of my own money, you know, right, like put some skin in it, and before he's asking other people to do so. Something interesting is this isn't the only crowdsourcing thing that's going on in the anime world right now. For example, there's another site that has launched with its beta with Santa Company, and it's called Annie People Crowdfunding Site. And you can go to it at AnniePiPo.com. And basically what it is you sign up for an account and you create a project, and then the staff at AnniePiPo approve the project. And when it's created, you can try to get it funded, and then it looks like it's more of a funding for original animation rather than licensing or distribution or animation that already exists. It's a crowdfunding for animators to try to get their projects funded so that they can make them happen.
It's amazing how crowdfunding is just blowing up in the world these days.
Well, then, you know, the crowdfunding market's going to get flooded online, and everyone's going to aggregate to one place, and everything else is going to fail. Not to be a cynic, but
as of right now, and it's the beta, but AnniePiPo only has three projects running. They have Santa Company, which actually has 10%, and I feel like I've heard of this before, so I'm not 100% surprised at this, but the goal is 1 million yen. The prices are in yen on this site. And then they have two other projects, ABC of Akari and Pon Pon P Popo.
Why don't we move on to some of Kimiko's articles here that she picked out of the news. I want to hear what Kimiko has to say, because I miss the sound of Kimiko's voice.
Aw, I miss the sound of your voice too, Mitsuri.
You liar.
No, I shit you not. I miss all of you guys so much. It hurts. Don't mock my vernacular, son.
I'm sorry.
I stumbled across some posters for a new Ghibli Miyazaki film called The Wind Rises. And I am totes excited about this. It's basically, it's coming out, July 20th is what we found out. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's right.
Unsia.
And it takes place during World War II. And it's about, fighter pilots or something like that, right? It just,
yeah,
I've seen mostly
it's
just
Miyazaki,
pictures of it.
So
and it's based off of a short novel by the same name. And it's the story of an aircraft engineer who was most remembered for his design work on the Mitsubishi A6M Ryzen Zero, Japan's famous World War II fighter aircraft. And that's the information, all the information I can really find on it. But the posters that came out make it look hella cool. The one that came out first was basically just the heroine painting a picture, standing underneath an umbrella, which is what's going around.
It's
but the most recent
me,
one focuses on our main character, our hero. I believe his name is Jiro, and he's standing in front of a broken fighter plane, and it's just it's basically in tatters. And it just, it looks really, really interesting. And obviously, it looks like phenomenal animation because it is Ghibli and because it is Miyazaki. And I'm just excited to see another Ghibli movie coming out at all. I always am.
The only,
so that's, yeah?
The only thing that makes me sad about this is once again, it's not an original story. It's based off of a manga that's based off of a short story from the Showa period. And it's like, I want one more original story from Miyazaki.
You know why his movies have so many fighter planes and stuff in it? I'm pretty sure if it wasn't his father like a pilot or was a designer or was connected to airplanes
flying
in some
stuff
way.
Makes his dick hard or something.
and so little girls in their bloomers. So basically, Kimiko's news point is, there's Miyazaki coming!
Yay! Very soon. The posters look cool. Yay! And at least we can count the fact that when Miyazaki does adaptations for things that are completely unoriginal to him, like if he bases it off of a novel or off of something that he had no say in, he makes the adaptation so far outside of what the original was that it's almost an original idea.
So go to the bank. Go to the bank and take out your 3,000 yen so you can afford to buy your $30 movie ticket. And
come on,
grab your ass and get in your seats.
Don't blow this.
Damn straight. July 20th.
So what else you got, Kimiko?
The only other thing I found was I'm really excited for there's this anime coming out called Silver Spoon, and it's based off of a manga of the same name. But it looks like a slice of life, and you know how I feel about slice of lives. It's based off of a boy's life in an agricultural school.
Oh, Jesus, it sounds like a combination of the real lives of Daily High School Boys and Moyashimon.
Maybe. I'm hoping it's... Well, the reason that I'm really excited for it is because the assistant director wrote Usagi Drop, or assistant directed Usagi Drop, and the person who's writing the scripts was involved in Usagi Drop as well, and everyone knows that I loved that to little itty-bitty pieces. But the big thing was they just cast the three main characters, and the main hero is being voiced by Ryohei Kimura. And he's been in a few big name things. In Big Wind Up, he was Nishihiro. He was a character named Tsunoda in C Control the Money and Soul, or Money and Possibility of the Soul. Does that character sound familiar to you, Chiaki?
I'm gonna look up a picture because the name doesn't sound familiar, but I'm also really, really bad with names.
And of course, as the article mentions, the story is done by the original mangaka that did Full Metal Alchemist.
Yes,
so
that
it's
too.
Got that draw behind it, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, it's Ed Elric!"
Yeah, exactly. And Ryohei, he also voiced quite a few major roles, as in Akira in Eden of the East, and he was Eichi in Full Moon wo Sagashite, which I know he wasn't like a major character in like voice wise, but he was a major character, and so that's kind of exciting for me at least. And besides Nishihiro in Okiku, he was also Shoma in Penguin Drum.
Oh, and here Shoma. It comes. Oh my god,
so I'm
Swoon.
Really, I'm excited for him. And the heroine played Ringo in Mawaru Penguin Drum as well. So that's going to be fun to see them interacting in a new anime as well. So yeah, that's fun news for me.
I wonder if they're like Labu Labu in real life.
I hope so. She looks adorable. She's a little older than I pictured her, but I think they would look cute together.
So Kimiko's excited for new anime.
I am.
That's a worthwhile thing to be excited for.
True.
And this, have you watched, just real quick before Cram and I move on to our argument.
this is happening.
Kimiko, have you seen any of the Attack on Titan anime that's running?
I haven't, but I've heard so many people talking about it. Is it good?
I recommend you watch an episode or two of that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Noted.
If you want to watch like a person get, you know, eaten by a bigger person.
I just have one more funny story to share. A general Japanese news, but anime story.
Here it comes. Oh, goodness. This looks like it could be good.
So, in a local shopping district in Takamatsu City in Japan here, there was a Detective Conan promotion event in the Takamatsu Marugame Machi Ichibangai Azumakan building. And it was an event for the manga, and it was this white board object thing, and it had red and blue electrical leads sticking out, and it was filled with an unknown substance and wrapped in a silver bag. And it was, someone basically forgot to pick it up after the event, and it caused a whole bomb scare. So it was like a promotional item they were using, and then they cleaned up, and then they went home, but someone forgot to take this thing, and it looked like a bomb, so it caused a bomb scare, and that just makes me giggle.
You can't say bomb on an airplane. Anyway, so Cram and I are going to argue now for 10 minutes. Oh,
you're wrong.
Actually, I'm not going to argue with you because we really only have like 6 or 7 minutes to do this.
We've gotten most of it out already. I'm not feeling too fired up.
So for those of you that know, the Xbox One was revealed. And, well, amongst other things, I think, you know, the death of GameStop is coming. And a number of other things. But it was kind of an underwhelming press conference.
I don't disagree with that, and I think that's been part of our problem. Any of you who happen to be either one of our friends on Facebook probably saw us get into it the other night. But
that's because you're wrong.
There are 40 something comments on that thread, and they're all just me and you going back and forth.
Yeah, well, that's because no one else besides us gives a shit.
No, but I do agree. I do agree the press conference was a little bit underwhelming, and it was underwhelming because both of us are gamers. We watch something like that because we're gamers, and what do we want to see? We want to see games.
Games!
And they showed some sports, which was mostly live-action stuff, and they showed some racing, which was pre-rendered, and then they showed Call of Duty.
I gotta be honest, like, Microsoft always does the same games when they do their conferences.
Right.
It's always Forza, which is like the little bitch sister of Gran Turismo, and no one gives a shit. And then Madden.
Tell us how you really feel in this topic, Mitsuki.
Gran Turismo is one of the most prolific gaming series that's ever been made.
It's not.
Forza's the little brother that...
You don't mean prolific, you mean popular.
What? I don't know. Define prolific.
Prolific means works come out often. Like, frequently...
that's definitely not true. So, most groundbreaking. Set a standard for
sure,
a genre.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
So, but even at, like, the last... And I am sort of a Sony fanboy, but I did own two Xbox 360s, so I'm not a complete, you know, one-sided person. And when the last consoles came out, I remember that Sony, for example, didn't show a lot of games with the PS3 initially, but they at least showed footage and showed what the system could do. Like,
right.
they showed us the console, they showed us the capabilities, they gave us the specs, they were like, I remember that scene in the bathtub where they rendered like 1,000 rubber duckies.
Right, and not pre-rendered stuff, it was all like in-engine stuff, you know, game after game after game. And, you know, there was stuff about the PS4 conference that I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that it didn't show the console.
Well, I don't think it was ready.
It may not have been, but I still I didn't like that.
I gotta be honest, though. Not to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
But, like, what's more important, knowing what the console looks like or knowing, like, what games you're going to have?
At this point, like, after Xbox's whole thing, I mean, I'm glad the PS4 press conference did what they did, even without showing the console, because it's like, wow, at least they showed a ton of games, showed me what I wanted to see. You know, I understand that Xbox, like, blowing their wad, you know, on their games right before E3 isn't the wisest thing for them to do. But at the same time, if you're going to announce it, I mean, back in the day, they would just announce consoles at E3. Like, what? When did that stop? Why can't they do that anymore?
All right.
They could do everything at the same time.
Let's get organized and go through a few talking sure. points here. The first talking point is that the Xbox talked about a lot of services that they offer. Mm. They didn't talk much about games, but they talked a lot about services, sports packages, HBO,
apps, and things
all
like
this
that.
Crap. Yeah. But then they also said that most of this stuff is only available in the United States.
Question on that. How much is the Xbox? Is the Xbox Live subscription going up? Are they creating new levels of subscriptions, or have they not?
They haven't talked about any of that. They haven't talked about the price of the console, or the release date, or the price of services, or anything.
I've heard wide ranges of opinions on the price, and people say that
they're all rumors, though.
They're all rumors, but people are speculating that because the Kinect is required and it comes with the system, that the price is going to be pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it came out and it was a $600 or $700 system like the PS3 was when it came out. But you know, I can see the PS4 coming out and having a significantly lower price point because it doesn't have all of these required peripherals that come in box. So how
do you feel about, like, Microsoft is a system that has a lot of sales in Europe. So how do you feel about them taking a dump on Europe and saying, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm admittedly pretty ignorant when it comes to what kind of apps and features the Xbox 360 currently has in Europe. You know, I know that lots of people are aware that the United States and the West has things like Netflix and Hulu and all that kind of stuff. But in Europe, they might have apps that we don't even know about. So, I mean, at some point, it's possible that they could have their own press conference that says, okay, you know, the States is getting all this stuff, but you guys are getting this stuff. I'm really not sure at this point. But if it is what it looks like from here, and that's that basically the United States is going to get all of these features and all of these apps and things that, frankly, we don't really care about sitting here, but we're getting anyway. Then I think it kind of sucks for Europe or people in other parts of the world looking on and being like, okay, that's great. So this is basically a press conference that has literally nothing for us.
So it's like, if I'm in like London, why would I bother buying an Xbox One if I know that half the content on it isn't even usable by me? And the chat just got me fired up. They mentioned like, though the Wii U is the best system.
Well,
the Wii U can't even outsell the regular DS.
Well, sales notwithstanding, I mean, I've heard a lot of people that actually own Wii U's that are very, very happy with the console
that
they have. But I mean, you know, if it's not selling well, it's not selling well.
Well, the Wii U has no games. That's its problem right now. There's no games that would make me want to buy the Wii U.
And there aren't any games. There's really only a couple games being announced. But we're getting off topic.
Right.
So one thing about the Xbox One that I want to put out there, I think the Kinect thing is really creepy. I don't care that they say they're not watching you. They have the capacity to watch you. And that's really, really creepy.
All right. So just to clarify, the Xbox 360, the Xbox One, which is a stupid name anyway. It's like, oh,
I don't think it's a stupid name.
It is. So we went back to
it is crap.
The fact that it has
an all in one. I mean, that's what they're trying to promote it. I mean, that goes right in line with their marketing strategy.
Yeah, well, their marketing strategy is bad too. But so it has a Kinect, and the Kinect is always on, right? Because it has voice commands that you can turn it on and whatever. Mm. And so I've heard people talk about the fact that, one, it's kind of creepy that it's supposed to have an active internet connection once a day, and yet you have, so it's like, oh, Microsoft has like a camera that's pointing right into your living room that can both hear and see you all the time, that they can access. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but like where I stand on that is that, you know, that they're kind of being upfront about that, you know, because everybody is aware that you can walk into a room now and say Xbox on, Xbox watch TV, Xbox go home, you're drunk, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, the three of us are sitting here and there are 3, 4, 5 cameras in this room, one of which we know is active, but how do we know the others aren't? How do we know for sure that the others aren't recording us or walk? You can unplug this right here, the thing that's built into your computer.
The light isn't on.
I'm sure you can turn it off.
Sure, the light isn't.
I trust the light.
You trust the light.
The light doesn't lie to me.
That's fine, but you don't know for sure. It's hardwired into your system. You're connected to the internet, and your computer is never offline, ever. You don't go to sleep at night.
Doesn't you shut it?
Not necessarily. Do you know that for a fact? I don't want to go on a crazy tangent about this, but I feel like people are getting worked up about something that has kind of been around for a long time, and now that Microsoft is saying, you can walk into a room and tell your Xbox to turn on because the Kinect will always be listening. People are like, it's always listening?
Okay, so let's move on. The next point, I think, is the next thing that I really want to talk about is the branding and the marketing.
Right.
So, first of all, we all know that Microsoft doesn't do hardware that well.
I would agree with that.
So, it's like, oh, we all know that the Zune was a huge failure. We all know that like 40% of the original Xbox 360s were defective. Mm-hmm. And so you've got this supposedly game console that's now doing quote unquote everything, and you are gonna try to compete with companies like Samsung and Panasonic that have their core competency in making, and Samsung, which can duplicate any technology in like 6 months, which is just one of the fastest in the industry. Microsoft is going to get annihilated by these other companies that have decades and decades of experience manufacturing quality products for doing the exact same thing. And it's like, if I'm a dude and I want to buy some entertainment system console that goes to my cable box and all this other crap, I don't even know what all I would want, because nobody watches TV nowadays anyway. But I'm not going to go, oh, I want to buy an Xbox, because it's already been branded for 15 years as a game console.
Right.
Like, that's not the first thing I'm going to think of. I'm going to go, oh, let's see, what are the good electronics companies? Oh, Sony, Samsung, Panasonic, Vizio or something. And that's like...
And that's fine, and I think that is where their branding has gotten them, because when you hear Xbox, you hear gaming console, and that's why I think it may be not smart, but certainly bold and brave to put out there from the outset that this is not, you know, this is not your mama's gaming console. This is a new type of gaming console that is not just about gaming. And the announcement, that the press conference was so heavy on the TV and the sports and, you know, the, you know, DVR type features of the cable box and all that kind of junk and the streaming services and whatever and the Skype and whatever. And then they're like, and of course it's an Xbox, so it plays games. And of course we're going to see all of that stuff at E3. But I think in order for them to market this as something that's not just a gaming console, they need to put that out there first. And people are pissed. Yeah, gamers are pissed because they feel betrayed. I understand that. But I also kind of understand what they're trying to do, because, again, like you said, when you hear Xbox, you think video games. And that's right. And it's not that they're trying to change that. They're trying to add to that. They're trying to expand that, because that's where their brand equity has gotten them, is the sound of that word, Xbox, means video games.
It only has value in gaming. It doesn't have any value in...
Not right now, but, like, I mean, I was talking about this to my wife. Like, we're gamers. We have that perspective. But, you know, my wife was talking about how her mother and father will never, ever, ever buy an Xbox. Because to them, they hear Xbox and they think about their 22-year-old son sitting up, you know, in his room...
Exactly.
All night playing video games. But as soon as my wife starts telling my my mother-in-law about, you know, you can plug your cable box into this and you can be watching TV, and if I Skype you, then it's going to come up on your screen and you just say answer the call, and I'm right there, and you've got your TV muted on the side and me up there. I mean,
yeah,
and that's so I mean, that's valuable to people like us who are living so far away. But it's to them, I mean, to people like her parents. And she said to people like her parents, it's like when you went to Epcot and you saw that whole display about what the future will be like of, you know, you can just talk to people and you can see their faces on their television and you can use your voice to, you know, tell people to tell your TV to call somebody and you can answer
people
the call
been,
and see them from all the way around the world and stuff like that.
This whole thing, the whole idea is...
All right, boys, I'm giving you 5 minutes.
The whole idea is idiotic, and I'll tell you why. Mm. One... First of all, the television market is just collapsing. The only thing people watch on TV anymore is sports.
I think that the fact that people are calling this a golden age of television directly contradicts that point. I mean, there are
How
more...
How can you say that? Look at the Nielsen studies that talk about TV ratings and stuff that say, oh, like the number of televisions per household has shrunk by like 8% just last year.
But
there's numbers that say that televisions are just... Everybody's switching to iPad. Like you can watch,
yeah, that's
you can watch
fine.
TV
I mean,
on your
you're,
iPad.
You're talking about live TV, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what you're talking about, yeah. Live TV. I mean, but the Xbox is going to have features. I'm sure it's going to have features that add DVR. And DVR
Everybody
messes
has
with
DVR
Nielsen
already.
License. And that's true. But...
In fact, cable companies give you DVR with your cable
right.
box.
I mean, that's fine, but like, there's always going to be live TV. Live TV is, I mean, I think that disappearing is way, way, way down the road.
But it's shrinking.
I guess in some ways, it's shrinking based on what Nielsen says, because Nielsen has been a flawed system from the get-go.
Let me ask you a question, because I know the answer already.
Mm-hmm.
You personally,
yeah.
How much TV do you actually watch live on your television?
Well, that's kinda,
zero.
That's kind of loaded because I live in Japan and I watch most of my stuff on Netflix.
Yeah, but even all right. So even when we were living in America, We never watched anything on our TV live except unless it was sports.
I mean, I don't watch sports, but what I would watch, I mean, what I would watch is Adult Swim, and I would watch that live, and I watched it, you know, pretty much every night.
But you can get that, just like everything, it's all moving to the computer. Everything's on Hulu and Netflix and YouTube and iPad, and you don't even have to have, there's no need for a TV at all nowadays.
Sure, I mean, that's fine, but like, that's only one feature of the new Xbox. They're trying to integrate all of those features into one console, so you know they're trying to capture the past and the present and the future of home entertainment. And I think that's where they're trying to go with this. I can see it like that. That's the angle that I'm trying to see it from, is that they're trying to capture a much broader audience. It could backfire, it could be a misstep, but I think it's bold and I think it's interesting, and I want to see where it goes.
I want to see where it goes too, but one more comment is that these companies have been, including Sony, like when the PS2, even when the PS2 came out, they were talking about, oh, the PS2 is going to control your vacuum cleaner and all this bullshit. That never happened. They actually said that.
I mean, yeah, now, that's pretty that silly. That's pretty silly in retrospect. But
even when the PS3 came out, and especially when the Xbox 360 came out, they were like, oh, the Kinect's going to scan your skateboard, and like you have your own skateboard on Tony Hawk Pro Skater and all this bullshit. And 90% of the crap they touted never happened. Ever. And I sort of think that the fact that they've been trying to, that first of all, Microsoft makes promises they don't keep.
Because everybody makes promises they don't keep.
Yes, that's true. But also, these game companies have been saying, oh, we're going to integrate the living room for a decade now. And I'm starting to think that the fact of the matter is, people don't give a flying F. People don't want to be strapped to their living room, to their couch, to do this crap. They want to have it on their iPad and their MacBook or whatever, and take it in their car and to work. And integrating the living room is something that I'm starting to think that people don't really want.
Well,
Chucky's yawning, but it's actually probably an interesting conversation.
It's an interesting conversation, but I argue the point that we're an anime podcast.
Yeah, but this is the hottest topic right now.
Yeah, and well, I think the audiences are similar. I think we can
very similar.
We can goof it.
So I don't know, but all right, so. 30 seconds. What did you think about the Sony's jab at Xbox with that advertising post?
I think it's kind of brilliant. Right, and that's what I want to say. Like, that's really important to me, is that as of right now, as a gamer, I want to buy a PS4, but I don't hate the Xbox One. I kind of understand what they're trying to do, and I want to see where it goes.
So what did the ad say? Do you have a link to that?
No, I don't have a link to it. It was on Reddit. What was it?
It said, "We will also use your TV for gaming."
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We will also use your TV
gaming. It's kind of brilliant.
Brilliant. But they're capitalizing on all pissed. Also, we didn't even talk about the used game market, but GameStop's in trouble.
Maybe. I think it's not as in trouble as you think it is. I think its death is way farther down the line.
Even if used...
No, don't raise your hand. You are past your 5 minutes, sir.
Starting next week, we will have a spinoff podcast all about video games with just me and Mitsugi.
No, I want to talk about video games too. I just know why people...
You ruined it. You ruined it, Chiaki.
I'm
just kidding. You can come
even
on.
If the used game market wasn't even touched, GameStop's already screwed because digital downloading of games is rapidly increasing per year. And eventually, nobody on the planet will ever go... It's going to be Blockbuster. Nobody's ever going to go...
Eventually, but not as soon as you think.
Well, I'm talking 3 to 5 years. Not... Yeah.
We'll see.
You watch. You watch. Anyway, thank you, Chiagi, for ruining our conversation.
Oh my god. Says the one who's like, we gotta keep our episodes to 1:30, well, and we're already at 1:15,
as the person...
and we haven't even done our impressions or reviews.
Well, nobody cares about Ginga A kickoff anyway, so...
What? Someone out there does. Someone out there's crying.
So, as the person who does the editing, I think I know how much time we have. So, we're gonna take another quick news break, and when we come back, we're going to do... impression on Carnival and review on Ginga A kickoff and a review on Bakuman final season. So stay tuned.
Hey, all you anime crowdfunders out there, this is Chiaki, and this is your anime news break. First up, the American convention season is heating up because it's that time of the year, And there are some exciting announcements for those of you who are planning on going to some of the major conventions located across America. One of the first one is Anime Expo. Anime Expo is held every year at the Los Angeles Convention Center. And they've recently made two announcements that could be relatively exciting for congoers. The first one is that voice actress Megumi Han will be a guest of honor on the July 4th through 7th convention. She is the daughter of the prolific voice actress Keiko Han and has recently made her acting debut at the age of 19 in the live-action film adaptation of Sakura no Sono manga in 2008. She pursued her dream of becoming a voice actor herself and eventually won the lead role of Gon in the Hunter x Hunter anime, which I know is something that is incredibly popular and many people are watching. So if you're a fan, there are some other titles she's been involved with. Check it out and see if you can get to the con. And one other large North American convention is Otakon, held in Boston every year. They've recently announced that Sword Art Online character designers and animators Shingo Adachi and Tetsuya Kawakami will be attending the convention this year. Adachi has worked as a character designer and animator on several Mega Man franchise anime works, and Kawakami designed characters in Shigofumi, Letters from the Departed, before signing on as a chief animation director and sub-character designer for Sword Art Online. So there's a lot going on in the anime convention world in America, and these are conventions that every year you don't want to miss. And finally, speaking of panty and stocking with garter belt, HMV and other retailers are listing the Blu-ray disc box with English dub and subtitles. The Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt Blu-ray Box Forever Bitch Edition is slated for release on October 25th for 27,300,000 yen, which is about $267. Wah! It's the 13-episode series and anime shorts on three discs. The set now has a DJ mix by MFLOW's Taku Takahashi and extras which include Ghost Bakuhatsu Senshu live-action documentary, promotional videos, clean opening and ending animation sequences. This was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back to the show soon.
Hi, my name is Sonny Strait, voice of Krillin from Dragon Ball Z, and I'm an anime addict. Kamehameha, bitches!
And we're back with the 179th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. We're here to make your anime addiction worse with impressions and reviews. So first, we have an impression from Kimiko, so lay it on me.
I watched the anime Carnival, and it was interesting. I don't quite know how to describe what I witnessed. It was...
Well, you have 3 minutes.
You shut up. It was visually stunning. I will start off by saying that. It was very cool to watch, but a lot of shit happened very, very quickly, and not a lot of it seemed to make very much sense. I'm hoping that it all kind of figures itself out later. But basically, it's focusing on this character named Nai, who's searching for someone important to him. And I don't remember this person's name, but he repeats that name like 20 million times, and that should tell you something.
Oh my god, it's a drinking game.
Oh, that actually, yes.
Every time someone says Nai, is there enough of Nai to do the drinking game?
It would be the name of the person that Nai is looking for. I want to say it's like Hideki or Kieki or something. I don't know.
He said it a million times, right?
Yes, he does say it a million times. So drink every time he says the name of this long lost someone who he stole the bracelet of. But anyway, Nai ends up running into this guy named Gorecki, it's a guy named Gorecki who steals and pickpockets basically to kind of get by from day to day. But the way that they meet is really weird. I don't know how this happened, but Nai is like kind of a prostitute, I think, all of a sudden. And
what?
I don't even know. And he's basically about to, like, I don't know, sleep with this one woman who's really important. And then all of a sudden, the woman leaves because she realizes that he's not really interested in her, even though he definitely seems more prostitute than, like, actual person that she's courting. And then so she leaves, and all of a sudden, this Gorecki guy breaks in. And then she comes back and turns into, like, a giant spider. And it's just
what
like,
And you just lost Chiaki.
Is this Wicked City?
I don't know
Does her vagina have teeth?
I don't know. She had, like, really long arms that, like, disjointed, and she had claws. And she did have, like, fangs. And her eyes looked weird, and she was talking funny, and her neck, like, cracked in odd ways. And suddenly she's attacking them, and Gorecki recognizes Nye's bracelet, and it's a big cluster of stuff happening. And then all of a sudden they're on a train, and on the train they meet these other characters from what's called the circus, and the circus is some sort of defense organization, and they work for the government or something, and that's all I've been able to figure out so far. And those people end up, like, saving everybody from this attack on the train. And it's just a lot of stuff happening all at once that doesn't seem connected yet in any way. But they don't really continue to explain it in episodes 2 and 3. It's kind of like, we're giving you all this information and all of these things that could eventually lead into a bigger subplot. But no, just kidding. They have absolutely nothing to do with the anime at all. So that's what I've witnessed so far in Carnival.
So are you recommending this, or are you not recommending it?
It's tough. I'm gonna say go ahead and give it a watch and see if it's your cup of tea, but it's definitely not mine. And I feel like if you prefer an anime with a more in-depth plot and not action for action's sake with little to no actual sense, I would avoid it, just because it doesn't seem like it even really has a good handle on itself right now.
The chat says, episode 1, Wicked City plus Bishi plus Yaoi equals Carnival.
I can agree with that statement wholeheartedly.
What the? You could not pay me to watch this anime.
I'm probably not going to be able to watch. Well, I'll make myself watch it for you.
Not even for all the sapphires.
That's what we do. But, like, I can't. I really, it's bad to me right now. Like, I just don't know what I'm watching. So that's okay. My impression of Carnival is what?
Okay, so don't watch it unless you like Yaoi. Okay, great.
Yay.
I guess. So I'm going to do a follow-up review on Ginga A Kickoff. Ginga A Kickoff is an anime that started to come out in April of 2012, but because it's got 39 episodes, it ran for, you know, the longer portion of a year. And it's directed by Konosuke Uda, who doesn't have a particularly long resume, and generally this is one of the only things he's really directed. The only other thing I noticed is Galaxy Express 999 Eternal Fantasy, the movie. So Ginga Kickoff is a soccer anime that is a group of elementary school children, and when the last review left off, they had participated in a soccer tournament, and they lost. So the second half of the season is essentially they try again at another tournament and subsequently go to take on the whole galaxy, as they put it. So it's a group of elementary school kids with big goals. And the show starts out with this kid named Sho, and he's not particularly talented, but he is charismatic. And so what he manages to do is gather a group of talented players and a coach that used to be an ex-professional, and they take on the first tournament together using teamwork, and he's sort of the captain, and he plays defense, but he's not very skilled, but he can read the field really well. And unfortunately, they don't win the first tournament, but what they do is attract the attention of a number of star players from other teams, and so they end up recruiting several players from other teams that are also good, which allows them to be more successful in the second half of the series. Ginga A Kickoff is a show that definitely appeals to a more of a children audience. There's no objectionable content whatsoever in the show. Most of the characters are children. I would say that it probably appeals to kids between the age of 7 and 14, primarily, even though I'm 27 and I watched it. So, I normally comment that in sports anime, it's better when the sport focuses on one particular player at a time, such as baseball, which is by far the sport that lends itself best to drama and other forms and various forms of media, movies and whatnot. Soccer normally doesn't do this too well because it's just too hard to see everything on the field at once in an anime. But the show actually does an okay job of conveying the action on the field. They sometimes go into detail about the strategies and the tactics that the team uses when playing their games. The kids kind of are self-autonomous. The coach lets them kind of develop some of their own strategies, and it's probably just because he's a lazy dude. But they come up with various techniques called the spiral and the reverse spiral that kind of confuse defenses and allow them to have more open shots at the goal. And because so many of their players are extremely talented, they kind of find a lot of success using these strategies. And in the show, each of the characters sort of has their own story going on. One of the characters that they recruit later on has his whole goal is to become a soccer star, so his father will notice him and he can find his father who's playing professional sports in Spain. And all I can say is, like, wow, you have a shitty father because you're in Japan and he's in Spain and he doesn't even call you or anything. So he sounds like a dude that ran away and doesn't want his kid anyway. But one of the issues I really have with that particular plot arc was that, backstory is that they go to Spain to be in, like, the global tournament, but they don't really focus too much about his father. Like, it's just kind of like they mention it and it's sort of one of the reasons why they go, but then they don't really capitalize on that, and there's no hint of a second season, in my opinion, in any more of this. Other arcs, they talk about the coach's backstory, some of the backstory about the quote unquote triplets. There's triplets on the team that are really good, and so everybody sort of gets their own story. The characters in the show are generally pretty good. After 39 episodes, they become pretty likable, and there's really no particular character that gets on your nerves. There's no moe in it. No one's too grating. Show can be a little bit annoying because he's just kind of a goofball and a little bit stupid. But all in all, the characters in the show are pretty likable. The animation is not super good. I mean, it's a lengthy sports anime, so it's not like they have to have a huge budget for animating CG to have, there's not high movement machines moving around or anything crazy like that. It's just people talking and then playing soccer. Unlike some other sports anime like Cross Game, which is, I mean, arguably the best sports anime that's ever come out, there's not a whole lot of other genres mixed in here. So in Cross Game, for example, you have a lot of romance and drama kind of going on behind the scenes with the characters, and that works really well. But Ginga Ace Kickoff is literally all about the soccer. Like, when they're not actually playing soccer, they are, discussing strategy or something. But really, this follow-up review that I'm doing right now, because I've already reviewed Ginga Ace Kickoff prior.
You actually reviewed it in episode 154, and you gave it a 3.5.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So the addition here is that Ginga Ace Kickoff sort of felt unfinished because they lost the tournament, and their greater goal was to be the best in the galaxy, and, after all this build-up, they fall short. I actually thought that the second portion of the show was a little bit better. They become more successful, some of the characters come around and become more likable, nothing changes about the music and the art, so there's really nothing else to say there. But the plot line definitely becomes more fulfilled, and the anime ends in a way that kind of makes you feel good about it. Sometimes, like, for example, Big Wind Up kind of left me feeling down because they lost, and there was no real reason for me to be too happy about the ending of Big Wind Up, and I really want more of that anime. But Ginga Ace Kickoff at the end, I'm not going to say whether they win or lose, but it makes you feel good at the end, and I think that really was a benefit, because after watching 39 episodes, the last thing I want to do is feel bad about the end of the show, like, cough, cough, Gundam Age, which I think pretty much every Gundam fan hates. So, in the end, I really think that Ginga A Kickoff is something that is good for youth viewers and people who love soccer. And at the end, I'm just going to keep it at 3.5 out of 5. Ginga A Kickoff was an overall solid sports anime. It's about as good as other soccer shows like Whistle, you know, which no one on earth but me watched. And Captain, what the hell was that old, really old show called? Captain Tsubasa, I think, which I haven't seen, but I know that it's supposed to be pretty good, but, you know. So, if you like sports and you like a lighthearted feel, I recommend Ginga A Kickoff for soccer fans, and but because of the lack of other genres, that's pretty much the only thing I can recommend you watch it for. Okay, Ginga A Kickoff, 3.5 spirals out of 5.
Yay!
Kill it, Kimiko.
Okay, so I am doing the final installment of the Bakuman series. Like, it's official, this is the last one, there will not be any more.
I would like to note that you can hear a review of the previous Bakuman and episode 128, where Kimiko gave it a 3.5.
Did I ever do one for Bakuman 2?
That was Bakuman 2.
Oh, that was Bakuman 2? Okay, yeah. It deserved it. A 3.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, it deserved a 3.5. That makes sense. But for this one, season 3, I'm just going to start off by saying I am very, very happy, and I wept. Now that that's out of the way, for those of you who haven't actually seen Bakuman 3, or Bakuman in general, watch it. It's really, really good. When it comes to, you know, some slight dramatic, romantic sort of slice of life, it's top of its class. They really handled themselves well. It's about Moritaka Mashiro and Akito Takagi, who join together to become mangaka. And basically, Mashiro draws the manga, and Takagi writes out all of the stories. And it's the entire series is basically about their journey through trying to become a part of what the show calls Shonen Jack, which is supposed to be like Shonen Jump, the actual manga magazine, and how they eventually get involved in the company and become pretty decent manga artists and mangaka, and how they make a name for themselves in the company, and how eventually they make a name for themselves in general, and Ashirogi Muto is what they call themselves as a joint authorship, and how everybody starts to recognize them for the brilliant author and artist that they are. And not only that, but just the relationships they make within the company and the rivals that they make that both help them succeed and also show them what it truly means to be a mangaka, and how a lot of it focuses on your own personal willpower and motivation and passions. This whole anime, basically, if we had to narrow it down to one theme, is just following your dreams or passion in general. And really, they are brilliant at focusing on that theme the entire time. I mean, it's about the successes and the failures, and about coming just this close to actually succeeding in what you want, in your ultimate goal, and then having to take 2 steps back and just keep on trying, because nothing is more important than ultimately reaching that goal. And for them, for Mashiro, it's when you find out in the first 3 episodes of the entire series, it's eventually when he creates a manga that becomes popular enough to get an anime, he's going to cast his schooltime crush as the heroine of the anime. And then when they do that, him and his crush are going to get married. And it sounds very trivial when you put it that way, but over so long a period of time, holding on to that particular dream as a motivator for their other dreams, it actually becomes very, very intimate and very, very profound. And I really liked that.
Is she aware that she's getting married?
Yes. Yes, that was a dream that they actually agreed on in the very beginning, Mashiro and this girl. I can't for the life of her remember her name.
So
oh, my God.
So
I'm
they're
the worst.
Engaged, basically.
Yes, they decide to... Well, like, they're not technically engaged. They're not even technically dating, because they promise each other they wouldn't really keep in much contact, and that would be them discovering their dream and finally accomplishing their dream would be the sign that they deserved to be together, and that they would.
Is this Byosoku?
That's so Japanese. I love you. I want to be with you forever. You're my dream mate. So let's not talk to each other for 5 years and see if when we finally see each other again, we'll just get married and it'll be cool. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. That is literally exactly how the love subplot goes in the story. Right there. Word for word. But anyway, so I can't really describe how perfect the third season is without explaining that the first season was all about them kind of growing and learning and adapting to this new situation while having that dream in the back of their minds that this is their ultimate goal, to eventually become famous mangaka and to get married, ultimately, to have both of their dreams come true, because the girl wants to be... she wants to be a voice actress. So if she's popular enough to become a heroine in a very popular anime, they will both have achieved their dream just by the fact that his manga will have been adapted into an anime for her to be the voice of. And so the first season really, really focuses on that well. Just the kind of the culminating of that dream and what they're striving for and the people that they're going to have to defeat, or, well, defeat's a harsh word, but the people that they're going to have to be rivals with and the company that they're going to have to make a name for themselves in, and all of that is really well done. And I believe I probably gave the first season of Bakuman either a 4 or 4.5 or a 5. Like, I had to have. It was very, very well done. The second season was just a lot of, we're almost there, we're not quite there. We're almost there, we're not quite there. Almost there, no. I mean, we're a little bit closer, but not really. And that was it.
One step back, 2 steps ahead.
And then 2 steps forward, and then 1 step forward, 2 steps back. Like, it was literally just a lot of ebb and flow with no real success, you know?
So you're like the Xbox, you're back to 1?
There we go.
Graham's shaking his head at me.
Way to bring you back.
I'm not, nothing.
Graham's shaking his head.
That being said, the third season, just everything that needed to happen happened. I don't want to give anything away, because if people have been watching the first and second seasons of Bakuman, there's so much that still needed to be completed in season three. And I don't want to spoil anything of what needed to be completed, but just know that everything that needed to happen happened, and it was so perfect in itself. And there were, like, maybe a couple of little arcs that were a little fillery, but most of it was just getting closer and closer to success and closer to the fulfillment of dreams, and finally, ultimately, just, oh, I can't even describe it in a way that wouldn't give everything away. But
did it feel rushed at all? Because you said there was a lot from the second season, so it didn't.
It felt perfect. It felt like there were maybe only 3 major arcs out of 26 episodes that they followed, and each arc had a purpose and had a forward motion that you could obviously tell was leading towards this climax that needed to happen, and maybe for some wanted to happen, some were kind of hoping it wouldn't happen, but it just, you needed to get to this point by the third season. I think if they'd drawn it on any longer, it would have been too much, and it would have just been stretching for more drama and more tension and more even, like, well, it's technically not sexual, like, tension, but, like, romantic tension, I guess, for this.
Is there a such thing?
Well, because, like, they don't really focus on, I'm just going to say romantic tension. Even if it doesn't exist, that's kind of how it feels, because you want things to happen in a certain way, or you want them to be together in the end. You want him and Takagi to come out with an anime finally, and you want her to voice it. You just want things to happen so badly by this point that if they'd drawn it on any longer, it would have been like you're ripping your hair out just waiting for some sort of finale, some sort of finish to all of this tension and all of this plot. And that's really one thing that I want to congratulate Bakuman in, is that 90% of this was just really well finalized plot. I mean, if there were any questions that you had in seasons 1 and 2, they were answered in season 3.
Okay, so there weren't any
all,
like,
of them.
No, like loose ends.
Exactly. And it was beautiful. And even to the point of, like, small minor characters that you didn't think really had a purpose just suddenly come back for a second to be like, oh, by the way, this is my final thing, just in case you were wondering what my plot point was, here I am. Like, they really go out of their way to just take the final little bits and pieces and sew them together into perfect little patchwork quilt of wonderful Bakuman completion. And I just, it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. So I'm going to give this a 5 wing-tipped manga pens out of 5. And for the overall series, I would probably give it a 4 wing-tipped manga pens. Because, like, the second season really just was a little bit too drawn out. But then with that third season as its, like, culminating point, oh, it just, it bumped the entire series up. I would watch the second season all over again if I had to get to the third season just to, like, feel that sense of fulfillment one more time.
So you loved season 3, but overall the anime gets a 4.
Yes, exactly. Which is still really good. It was a really, really good series. But season 3 was definitely the best. And I cried.
The chat says 5 Kimikogasms out of 5.
I can agree with that statement. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Do you know what we enjoyed?
What?
Having Kimiko today.
Yes.
It was really nice. Nice to meet you.
Likewise, definitely. And I hopefully will be able to come back more times because I really enjoy being here and getting to hear your lovely voices and see your awesome, like, little wall mural behind you.
We need to add to it.
Yeah. We need to go to, like, Mini-Stop and pick up all the, like, the new advertisements.
Or a movie theater. A lot of these came from movie theaters.
And, like,
they have little mini posters. That's awesome.
Well, we're going to go to Comic-Con, right? So
yeah.
We're probably going to get a 10 zillion things from Comic-Con.
Yeah, for sure.
So this has been the 179th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. You can find us at www.aaapodcast.com. We're also on iTunes and Facebook, so you can get all the episodes there and get the news about, you know, what's going on in Japan regarding us. And of course, Twitter, so send us a message on Twitter and say hi. And live on ustream.tv every Saturday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Can't forget that. Thanks for everybody who joined us in the chat. We appreciate you coming by to listen to us on a Saturday night. So
it's great hanging out with you.
And the ending theme tonight is Boku Janai from the anime Kakumeki Valve Rave by the artist Angela. So we had fun talking to you guys, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye, guys.